man, and he did so perfectly in the sense that he created us and gave us his image. Everything that you and I need to be what God wants us to be is innately within us because of creation. And sometimes we say the phrase Mother Nature. I'm not offended by that phrase, by the way, but may I suggest to you that there is a small fallacy in it, and that is that it is Father Nature. It is God who created me. It is God who created all that we see in this life. God is the author, and he particularly created human beings in his image, and within us is the absolute ability to be anything and everything God desires for us to be. But he does not force. He does not do and direct in such a fashion where you are without will. God says, I want you to choose wisely. And he, as the father in this parable, gives the young man his inheritance. He blesses him and then says, what kind of steward will you be? And the young man goes out and squanders it by making poor choices. Christianity might be simpler if God just didn't allow us to make poor choices, wouldn't it? And Christianity might be much simpler if God simply by force would not allow me to make sinful decisions. If God by force would not allow me to step into paths that are erroneous in relationship to him. If God by force would just simply keep me in control, then all things might be much simpler, but that's not who he is. And that's not the choice that he made in relationship to mankind. He blesses and helps and encourages us in all of the right paths. He has instilled in us his image. But at the end of the day, he looks at all of us and says, Brian, make a decision about how you're going to live. And the young man goes out and makes some pretty poor choices and lives pretty riotously. And in verse 15, we learn that he went and joins himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. I want you to consider that thought for a moment with me. Sometimes we have this image that the boy is out there eating what the swine had to eat. But if I'm reading the text right, it seems to imply to me that no one even offered him that. His responsibility was to go out and feed the swine, and the text says he would have. He had hit so low. His sinful behaviors had brought him to such rock bottom that he would have chosen to eat that which he was feeding the swine, but no one even offered him that, the text says. One imagery you need to have about this prodigal is that there is nowhere, he is at the bottom. He has hit complete bottom in his relationship with God, in his very existence. You cannot get any lower than where he is at. But yet he recognizes that he doesn't have to stay in that condition. In verse 17, the text says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare and perish with hunger? Friends, that moment of conscience, you and I need to honor it. When you and I have those moments where we are engaging in things that God would condemn, when you and I are making sinful choices in our lives, I would pray that that moment of conscience would kick in and it would tell me, you need to stop this. That I would come to myself, that I would come to a realization in my mind that this is not the path, this is not the choice, this is not the way I want to live, and I need to do something about it. This young man comes to himself and realizes that the servants in his father's house that he left behind had more than enough to eat. And he determines that he will go and tell his father that he has sinned against him, and would he receive him back as one of the hired servants. And now I want you to notice verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell and wrung his neck. No, not in your translation. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I imagine I could be pretty fair to say that the vast majority of fathers in this room, that's probably what we would have done. I'm willing to admit that that's probably what I would have done. When I see this boy coming back home, how dare you, right? How dare you think for a moment that you have the audacity to come and ask for an inheritance before I'm even dead, and then you have the audacity to take that inheritance and go and waste it, and now because you would rather eat or can't even eat that which is being fed to swine, now you... Aren't you glad we have God the Father who doesn't act that way towards us? The Bible tells us we have human fathers who discipline us not very well. Why would we not embrace the discipline that comes from God the Father who is perfect at it? Friends, I want you to recognize here that God the Father is the Father in the parable. And God the Father comes and He, with open arms, is waiting for any and all who will come to Him. You do not have to stay in sin. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to remain alienated from your Father. You do not have to remain a prodigal. God says, come home. Come home to me. With open arms, I am waiting for you. With open arms, I will embrace you. And in fact, the text says that when he sees him afar off and he believes he recognizes his son has started to return, he goes and meets him. Have you ever had a moment in your relationship with somebody else where you say to yourself, oh, I'll receive them, but they're coming all the way back, right? I am where I am going to be. Now, if they will walk all the way